Amen. Please turn again to that portion of scripture which we read in Numbers chapter 27. This evening I want very simply to preach on the subject, the five wise virgins of the Old Testament. And as we come to deal with this subject tonight, I pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. But before we look at the subject and consider God's truth from this passage of Scripture, let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us as we come to preach God's truth tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us again this evening. And we thank thee for thy precious word. And Lord, we just pray now that you would prepare our hearts for thy word. And O God, that you would shut out the world. And O God, that you would help us to concentrate on this word tonight. We thank thee for the word of God. We believe it to be the word of God, the infallible, inerrant, incorruptible, inspired word of God. And O God, because of that, we believe that you will speak to us through thy word. And we pray just now, Lord, that you would come and speak to all of our hearts. And we pray, O God, for both saint and sinner alike, that there might be a word in season for us all. But, O God, we thank thee and we praise thee that as we turn to thy precious truth, as the saints of God, that we can glean truth therein to strengthen our faith. And, Lord, we pray that we might leave God's house tonight with our faith in thee strengthened. O God, we know that we live in sinful days, wicked days. But, O God, we thank thee, Lord, that you've promised to keep your saints in such days. You have kept them in generations past. And, Lord, you'll keep them right up till you come again. O God, we thank thee that when you come again the second time, you'll find faith on this earth. And, Lord, we pray tonight, therefore, that we might be strong Christians for thee. Lord, bless us, we pray thee. Just speak to our hearts now through thy precious word. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. We have all heard of the five wise virgins of the New Testament. They were wise because they had oil in their lamps when the bridegroom came. And of course we read about them in Matthew chapter 25. But did you ever hear of the five wise virgins of the Old Testament? In Numbers chapter 25, we read about the five daughters of Zelophehad. Zelophehad was of the tribe of Manasseh, and he died in the wilderness before his family reached the promised land. However, when he died, he had no sons. He had only five daughters. The names of these five girls, if you take a look at the end of Numbers 27 verse 1, you'll read their names. They were Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah and Tirzah. And as we're going to find out this evening, they were five young girls that loved the Lord and who made a difference in their day and generation. My friend, do you want to make a difference in your day and generation? You can. Child of God, that ought to be the desire of all of our hearts, to make a difference. Because their father died in the wilderness having no sons, these five girls were not entitled to their father's inheritance in the promised land. The law stated that only male heirs were entitled to claim their father's inheritance when the children of Israel reached the promised land. The custom in use at this time was that a man's property was not to pass on to his daughters if he should die without male heirs. That was the law. However, because of the wisdom and the courage and the faith of these five young daughters of Zelophehad, the law was changed. And as long as they married within the tribe of Manasseh, they were permitted by God to claim their father's inheritance in the promised land. And we're going to say more about that just in a moment. But as we come to consider this very unique incident in the life and times of Moses, there's a number of things that I want you to notice about these five young girls. And I pray that God will bless his word to all of our hearts. And the message tonight in the main is for God's people, for those of us who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And I pray, child of God, that the Lord will speak to your heart. And I pray that the Lord will encourage you as you seek to live for the Lord in this world in which we're in. What do we learn here about the five daughters of Zelophehad? Well, first of all, I want you to notice their faith. These five young girls had great faith. Look with me there at verse 4. Here we have them speaking. And this is what they said. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he had no son? Now underline these words. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Give unto us. This incident in Numbers 27 took place before the children of Israel crossed over Jordan and before Israel entered into the promised land. It's important that you note that fact before we go any further. Therefore, although these five young women had never seen the land of Canaan, they believed that it was real. And they believed that God was going to give the children of Israel that land. And they believed the promise of God when God had promised all the tribes of Israel an inheritance in that land. And they believed that God had an inheritance for them in the promised land. And that's why they came to Moses here and uttered this statement. Give us, therefore, our inheritance. What faith they had. What great faith they had. Child of God, let us continually put our faith in the promises of God. You know, the Bible is full of wonderful promises for you and for me. We need to plead those promises day by day in our Christian lives. We're living in hard times. We're living in difficult times as far as the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned. But remember this, that God has not changed. God is still the same. And God's Word is still the same. And the promises contained in God's Word are still the same. I'm often reminded of what is said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. Turn over to Romans chapter 4 for a moment. Underline these verses in your Bible. Verse 20 and 21, we read these words. It says about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham was a man of faith and he believed God. He believed the promise of God. I'm often reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 27 verse 25. Again, as a text you should underline in your Bible. He said this, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Not a tremendous text of Scripture. But it emphasizes again to us the importance, child of God, of you and I believing God, putting our faith in the promises of God. In other words, what God says, he will do. What God promises, he will perform. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 we read, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Child of God, as the children of Israel were promised an inheritance in the land of Canaan, God has promised us an eternal inheritance in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful truth? You and I will make it to heaven. We will get to heaven. Because the Lord has promised unto us eternal life. Isn't that what we were seeing this morning? Because of the sacrifice of Christ. Because of the work that he has accomplished upon the middle tree in Golgotha's brow. Because of that work, we will get to heaven. And we should never listen to the lie of the devil, and we should never listen to the lie of the world, because the Bible states clearly that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Not wonderful? Let us continually put our faith in that promise. Let us continually believe the word of God. Because as we continually believe the word of God and put our faith in the promises of God's word, put our faith in the finished work of Calvary, that will strengthen our faith from day to day. Why should we go about with hearts full of unbelief? Why should we go about miserable? Why should we go about with doubts in our minds, when we have got the word of God and we have got the promises of God, and God has promised unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. So be encouraged tonight. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. And what a glorious day that will be when we get home to heaven and when we see Jesus. And when we sing the song of Moses and the Lamb around the throne of heaven, let us not lose heart. Oh, these five girls had faith. Give us, they said. But I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice not only their faith, but I want you to notice their problem. These five daughters had a problem. And their problem was this: when their father died, he had no sons. And the law stated that only sons could claim their father's inheritance in the promised land. Therefore, these five women were not equal under the law. Daughters had not the same rights as sons. That's the way it was. They found themselves in a great dilemma. They wanted their father's inheritance, but the law said they could not have it. What were these five daughters of Zelophehad going to do? Well, let me tell you what these five women did. They pleaded their cause before God. They brought their problem to Moses, and Moses in return brought their cause before the God of heaven. Look with me at verse 3. Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he had no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. Verse 5. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. I underline verse 5. And look what happened. God answered prayer. God promised them their father's inheritance and declared what they were saying was right. Look at verse 7. Or verse 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. So here we have the Lord answering their prayer. Here we have the Lord stating clearly that what these girls are desiring is right. And you'll notice then, and I'm sure you've noticed it already, that God changed the law because of these five daughters of Zelophehad. The law was changed. Look with me there at verse 8. It says, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. It had never happened before. The law had to be changed. And God changed the law. What do we learn here? Well, we learn some simple facts. First of all, we learn that there's no problem too great for the Lord to solve. Therefore, child of God, no matter how big your problem, bring it before the Lord in prayer. There's no knowing what the Lord will do when you plead your cause before God at the throne of grace. Pleading that your cause is right and just. Plead it before the Lord and God will answer your cry. Now that's providing that your cause is right and just. But the Lord will answer prayer. There's something else we learn here. That God can remove mountains. This seemed a great obstacle. And humanly speaking, it was a great obstacle. In order for these five daughters to have what they wanted, the law had to be changed. You know, we read a wonderful text of scripture in Matthew chapter 21, it's verse 21. It says this, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Men and women, child of God, faith can accomplish the impossible. That's what that text of scripture is stating. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. The Lord is almighty. And praise God, He will hear the cry and He will hear the prayer of His saints. The devil will tell us the thing is impossible. The world will tell us the problem is too great to be solved. But the truth is, there's nothing impossible with the God of heaven. Child of God, we all have problems and we all have dilemmas throughout our lives. But it is how we deal with them that will determine whether we are men and women of faith or not. Here we have five young girls, and they have seemingly an impossible problem to solve. And yet, they bring this problem before the Lord, and the Lord solved it. There's a wonderful text of scripture, it's Psalm 28 and verse 7. Listen to these words. The psalmist said, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 37 verse 5, Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And in Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 we read, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Have you got a problem in your life? And you think it's not solvable? Have you got a difficulty? And as far as you're concerned, there's no way around it. Well, follow the example of these five young girls and bring your problem to the Lord. Lay it before the Lord. Plead your cause before Him. And there's no knowing what God will do. He will answer prayer in His will and for His glory. Oh, they had a problem, but they brought their problem to the Lord. Isn't that what we often sing? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. What a word of encouragement this is to each and every one of us. Child of God, let us always remember that God is far greater than our problems. That God is far greater than our difficulties. That God is far greater than the devil himself. Because while Satan may be mighty, God is almighty. And thank God, the one who sits upon the throne of glory, all power belongeth unto Him in heaven and on earth. Remember that this week. When you face difficulties, remember that this week. When you come face to face with dilemmas, remember that this week. Especially when you're on your knees, that there's no problem that God cannot solve. Oh, bring it to the Lord and seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Now, notice something else here. about these five girls. Not only their faith, and it was great. Not only their problem, and their problem was great. But notice their courage. Did you notice their courage? What these five daughters of Zelophehad did here demonstrated great courage, because these five young girls came and stood before the leaders of Israel. Look at verse 2. Underline the verse. It says, "And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." This took great courage. They stood before Moses. They stood before Eleazar the priest. They stood before the princes and all the congregation. And again, let me emphasize where these five women were standing. Look at it. By the door of the tabernacle. And as I emphasized before, no woman had ever done this before. This took holy boldness and it took great courage. But they knew that they had a just cause. Oh, underline that thought. They knew they had a just cause. You know, child of God, if there's a day and age when we need courage to stand up for truth and righteousness, it is today in this 21st century. If there's an hour in the history of this world when the people of God need holy boldness, then it is this hour in which we live. Just as these five women had a just cause that was right, so we today have a just cause. That's the cause of Christ and His truth and His gospel. You and I have truth on our side. And my friend, when you go forward with truth on your side, you can't be wrong. You can't be wrong. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13 says, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. And Galatians 5 verse 1 says, Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do you remember what David said when his brother criticized him for coming to the battle in 1 Samuel 17 verse 29? David said this, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David's brother criticized him just for coming to the battle. But David knew that there was a cause. And then after he made that statement, he went out and with great courage, he stood before Goliath and he defeated the giant of Gath. David had courage, but he had also faith in the God of Israel. Faith in the God of heaven will give us courage and strength to stand up for the cause of Christ and stand against the problems that we have to face day by day. That's why it's so important to seek the Lord and to wait upon the Lord. Because the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, these five young girls had courage, but they had right on their side. They had courage, but they knew their cause was a just cause. Oh, they had courage, but their faith was in the God of heaven. It wasn't in their own ability or in their own strength. They weren't going forward here in their own strength, but they went forward in the strength of the Lord. And the Lord blessed them. And the Lord undertook for them, as we have already seen. And the Lord even changed the law so that they could enter into their inheritance. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture, isn't it? And all I'm doing tonight is scraping the surface. There's so much truth here. There's so much depth here. There's so much to encourage the saint of God as we live here upon this scene of time. Humanly speaking, everything was against them. Do you ever feel like that, child of God, that everything's against you? But you know, the truth is, even when we get down that far in the valley, That's not the truth. Everything is not against us, and everyone is not against us, because the Lord is always with us. Because one with God is a majority. One with God is a majority. As long as you're standing up for truth and righteousness and doing that which is right before the God of heaven, when you've got truth on your side, then there's no one can stand against you. And these five young girls knew that the Lord was with them. And the Lord was with them. Because He declared that they were right. He declared that they were right. Now, notice something else here. Turn back again to Numbers chapter 27. I want you to notice, fourthly, their desire. Their desire. Look at the end of verse 4 again. This is what they said. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Give us, therefore, a possession. That was their desire. All these five women wanted was what was rightfully theirs, the inheritance of their father. Notice that their father was a good and faithful man. Take a look again at verse 3. Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah. But he died in his own sin. He died a natural death, and he had no sons. Their father's name was Zelophehad. You know what Zelophehad means? It means protection against fear. Protection against fear. He was a godly man. He loved the Lord. But when he died, he had no sons. He had only daughters. He was not one of the men who had supported the rebellion of Korah. Their father had died a natural death in the wilderness. And when he died, he had no sons to claim his inheritance in the promised land. Therefore, these five daughters of Zelophehad were just desiring. They were just desiring what was rightfully theirs by birth. Oh, child of God, there's a wonderful thought there, and it's this. When we pray to our Heavenly Father, when we pray to Him for His blessing upon our lives, and upon the lives of our families, and upon the lives of our churches, and upon the lives of our nation, we are only praying for what is rightfully ours in Christ. Do you ever think about that? Underline Ephesians 1 verse 3 in your Bible. It says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Proverbs 10 verse 6 says, Blessings are upon the head of the just. And when we come to pray for God's blessing upon our lives, we're only praying for what is rightfully ours, because Christ has given us those blessings. Isn't that wonderful? He purchased those blessings for us when He died upon the cross of Calvary and shed His precious blood for our sins. He purchased those blessings. I'm saved tonight. What a blessing. I'm on my way to heaven. What a blessing. I'll never be in hell. What a blessing. Someday I'll stand in glory and sing the praise of Christ for all eternity. What a blessing. All those blessings. Every spiritual blessing. They're mine and they're yours. And we need to claim them. We need to claim what is rightfully ours. That's all these five daughters were doing. Child of God, the Lord wants us to possess our possessions. He has promised us power to live. That's our blessing. He has promised us grace to live. That's our blessing. He has promised us strength to live. That's our blessing. He has promised us the might of His Holy Spirit day by day to live a victorious life upon this world of sin. That's our blessing. And the sad thing is, In many lives of Christians, the devil has come in and robbed many of God's people of their blessings. Oh, let us not allow the devil or the world or the flesh, for that matter, to rob us of what we have in Jesus Christ. Let us claim what is rightfully ours and go through with God in these days. We have only one life. It'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. God does not want us to live in second best. God wants us to enter into the blessings that Christ has purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. In Joshua chapter 14, in verse 12, we read these words. Here we have Caleb. Turn to me, turn with me to this portion of Scripture. And look what Caleb said. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. In other words, give me this mountain, Caleb said, that the Lord has promised me. Look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him, and give unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Oh, child of God, we need to plead before God what is rightfully ours. God will give it to us. I wonder, in these days in which we live, do we know the blessing of God upon our lives, day by day? Do we know the power of God in our lives, day by day? Does God answer our prayers, day by day? Oh, child of God, we need to live for Christ. We need to serve Him. We need day by day to remember what the Lord has purchased for us upon the cross. That's why we should never walk about miserable and in depression and in defeat. Do you think it's the Lord's will for you and me to live in defeat? I don't. Think it's the Lord's will for you and me to run about as if He's dead? I don't. Because my God is alive, and He's alive forevermore. And He wants me to know that. And He wants me to believe that. And He wants me to live in the blessing of what He has purchased for me upon the cross. Oh, child of God, let us praise the Lord tonight. Let us be encouraged. And let us remember this passage of Scripture. You'll never forget it, sure you'll not. You'll never forget it. Read it again this week. Meditate upon it again this week. I'm sure that there are many other truths that you could glean from this passage of Scripture that I haven't even seen yet. It's such a blessing. But let us believe in the God of heaven, because God wants to give us His best. May we surrender our lives to Him, and may we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we do, then all these things shall be added unto us, and the Lord will bless us in this 21st century. Let us all pray.